Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service number one for our podcast audience purposes. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Daily Devotional Bible Reading, episode number 370. Where I read three chapters of the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day with my family as a part of our family devotions to, and we do the podcasts and the videos and the live service to encourage you to read the Holy Bible in a year's time with your family, and to pray with your family. In other words, to have family devotions or to have personal devotions. Today we are reading Esther chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 20, and Ezekiel chapter 11. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great joy, blessing, and pleasure to read in your hearing the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. At the book Esther, chapter 5. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther, At the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Then went Haman forth that day, joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all of the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, Moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared, but myself, and to morrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the king pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Ladies and gentlemen, pardon me. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing the Word of God at Jeremiah. Now Pasha, the son of Immer, the priest who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pasha smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pasha brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pasha, but Magormisabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all of the strength of this city, and all of the laborers thereof, and all of the precious things thereof, and all of the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give unto the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pasher, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, cut this on down here. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning, and the shouting at noontide. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, live and on demand, the Word of God at Ezekiel chapter 11. If the reading of the Word of God does not bless your heart deep down and move you, I would encourage you to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate 25 men, among whom I saw Jazaniah the son of Azor, and Pelatiah the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, it is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them, prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, your slain whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron, but I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Ye have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you into the hands of strangers, and will execute judgments among you. Ye shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. For ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, that Pelatiah the son of Benaiah died. Then fell I down upon my face, and cried with a loud voice, and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all of the detestable things thereof, and all of the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards the Spirit took me up, and brought me in a vision of the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all of the things that the Lord had showed me. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, even with the kind of morning you have given us, thank you so much for the power of your Holy Spirit, the power of your unction and anointing, and your strength to help us to not only read your Holy Word, but to get to understand it, and Lord, to also, if you'd allow me to say, to sense and to feel that special thing you do in the souls of your people when your Holy Word burns in our hearts and minds and souls and spirits. I cannot explain it. I don't know what it is, but that which is boring to many is absolutely extraordinary and exciting to me. And my soul on the inside is excited about reading your Holy Word. And Lord, as you know, that little thing you gave me to say at the beginning of each chapter, that I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure, joy, and blessing to read your Holy Word. Lord, you know, I mean that thing, because this is just exciting to me and a great blessing. Please, Lord, help everybody here and everybody out there to remember your Holy Word. Help us, Holy Father God, to hide your Holy Word in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Tuck it in our hearts. Help us to remember it. Help us, Lord, to meditate on it. Help us to love it, to cherish it, to obey it, to share it eagerly with others, and to preach your holy gospel from it as we move on now to our new Bible reading program that, Lord, right now is at one chapter, but we may very easily move it to the three chapters a day, or whatever the chronological Bible requires. Lord, we pray that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ lifted up. Lord, in the words of your servant A.W. Tozer, Lord, do that mysterious miracle thing you do in the hearts of people with your holy gospel and your holy word, and open their blinded eyes as you did his and mine, and help them to see the gospel and see Jesus and to be saved today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we're moving on for the new year. Our new year starts the day after Thanksgiving here in our family. And so we are reading, yes, the King James Bible, but it is the chronological Bible, which we've never done before. And so we're excited, as you can imagine. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the chronological Bible, episode number 5, if you will, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order according to the chronological Bible. This unique viewpoint, this unique Bible, allows you to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history to the present day. Today, my dear friends, we are reading Genesis chapter 5. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing the Word of God at Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. And he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years. And begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Cainan. And Enos lived after he begot Cainan 815 years. And begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel, and Canaan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared, and Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all of the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all of the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old and begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for preserving your holy word for us to feed on, to live by, to think on, to meditate on, and to get our lives corrected by. Help us to love your holy word more. Help us to cherish it more. Help us to obey it more. And help us to share it more with others in a training discipleship way, instead of gathering to gossip and to talk sports and foolishness. Help us to get back to digging into your holy word and studying your holy word, and encouraging younger saints to get rooted and grounded in your holy word. And help us to proclaim your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move forward to the Scripture in the Sense podcast. In this service, the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 706, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Holy Bible, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So the aim of this podcast, the purpose of this podcast, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, just like the saints of old went back to the Word of God for one of the greatest revivals known to mankind, the Nehemiah revival, the Ezra revival, if you will. They went back to the Word of God, and they went back to obeying, repenting of their sins, and obeying the Word of God. Probably nowhere in history that people repent so deeply to the point of breaking up illegitimate families based upon the law. And they had one of the greatest revivals ever by going back to the Bible. And so that's the idea here. And reading the Bible and giving the sense of the Bible, and then commanding the people to obey the Bible and to repent and obey what the Word of God says. And giving the sense of it means to give the understanding of it. And so it is my prayer that along with reading the Bible and giving the sense of it, it is my prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. For he said it first and best when he said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, today we are reading Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 6. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Please save those who are lost. Those of us who are saved, fill us with the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to understand your holy word with helps or without helps. And Lord God in heaven, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to share your holy word with others, to teach it, and to proclaim your gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 6. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Dear friends, I just read in your hearing Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 6. Now here is the sense of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Habakkuk's vision of God coming from the distance and marching across the land rose to a climax, having reached the place from which he would execute judgment. God stopped, stood, if you will, and shook the earth. His very presence caused the earth to shake. Furthermore, by a mere glance at the nations, he caused them to tremble, and even the framework of nature was shattered. The primeval mountains and age-old hills, the firmest constituents of the globe, crumbled into dust. He came down on Mount Sinai with thunder, lightning, and fire amidst shaking mountains, though the age-old hills collapsed. God's everlasting ways go on. Here is a stark warning to those who honor the creation over the Creator. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for the teachers that you have gifted to break it down further. Yet we still need the power of your Holy Spirit to understand it and to apply the principles to our lives and to share it with others. For Lord, as we have learned, the truly great professors, they master their subject and then they teach it to others. Help us always to be like that. Help us to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of it, so that we can truly share it with others effectively by the power of your Holy Spirit, and to preach and to proclaim your holy gospel by any means necessary for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon's morning and evening book. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 316. The scripture passage that the Prince of Preachers, Dr. Spurgeon, chose for us today is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Dr. Spurgeon goes on, we have here a personal claim and one that needs proof. The apostle knew that his claim was indisputable, but there are many persons who have no right to the title, who yet claim to belong to the Israel of God. If we are with confidence declaring, so am I also an Israelite, let us only say it after having searched our heart as in the presence of God. But if we can give proof that we are following Jesus, if we can from the heart say, I trust him wholly, trust him simply, trust him now, and trust him ever, then the position which the saints of God hold belongs to us. All their enjoyments are our possessions. We may be the very least in Israel, less than the least of all saints, Yet since the mercies of God belong to the saints as saints and not as advanced saints or well-taught saints, we may put in our plea and say, are they Israelites? So am I. Therefore the promises are mine, grace is mine, glory will be mine, and I will give it all back to the Lord. The claim rightfully made is one which will yield untold comfort when God's people are rejoicing that they are his. What a happiness if they can say, so am I, when they speak of being pardoned and justified and accepted in the Beloved. How joyful to respond through the grace of God, so am I. But this claim not only has its enjoyments and privileges, but also its conditions and duties. We must share with God's people in cloud as well as in sunshine when we hear them spoken of with contempt and ridicule for being Christians. We must come boldly forward and say, so am I. When we see them working for Christ, giving their time, their talent, their whole heart to Jesus, we must be able to say, so do I. Oh, let us prove our gratitude by our devotion and give as those who, having claimed, and live rather as those who, having claimed a privilege, are willing to take the responsibility connected with that privilege. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this devotional. We pray now, Lord, that you would open the eyes of the blind, unstop deaf ears, and save those, Lord, who are lost so that they can say, so am I. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend, can you say, so am I? Can you truly say that you are a part of the beloved family of Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life you have claimed Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you say, so am I? I too am born again. I am saved by the grace of God. If I were to die today, I would go to heaven to be with the beloved family of Jesus Christ. Or if you were to die today, you would go to the burning hell. Can you remember a day you met Jesus Christ and you received him as your Savior? If not, dear friend, pay close attention. Here's what you need to do. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God, no matter how rich you are, no matter how poor. It doesn't matter whether you are the president or a pauper. Makes no difference how beautiful you think you are or how handsome you think you are. Makes no difference how educated you are or not. We all have sinned against God. None of us have been that smart to stay away from sin and evil, unfortunately. Secondly, please accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for your sin and for my sin. There is a punishment for sin always. You know that. You know that in your heart. You know that in your conscience. Your conscience even tells you when you do wrong. You have a guilty conscience like the rest of us. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That is a final statement right there. It's a period. The wages of sin is death. There's no changing that. That is a not only a biblical fact, a God fact. This is God's word. It is a fact from your experience and from mine, because we have seen people, we know people who have died. And we know in ourselves that we're going to die, and we deserve to die because of our sins against God, because of our sinful nature against God, don't we? And so one day your body will go to a dark, cold grave, and down in it, something that many people have not gotten out of their minds yet, of loved ones being lowered in a casket into the black and dark ground. But sadder than that, your soul will already be in hell if you have never met Jesus Christ and believed on Him. You mark the words of the Bible, and you mark my words. If you die unsaved, you will lift up your eyes in hell immediately, in the torments of hell. Be you black or white, red or yellow, makes no difference. None of that stuff matters in heaven or in hell. None of that stuff matters with God. So thirdly, my dear friends, understand and accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now while you're living. You may not feel like it. You might feel quite good about yourself. You have your plans. You have your goals. You love doing what you do. But one day you will die. And before your body goes inside the casket and down into the grave, your soul will already be in hell. Before they have your funeral, you will already be in the burning hell, the place of torments. Jesus Christ, by the way, you say, "Preacher, how do you know that so confidently? You sound very confident that that's the case." I know that because Jesus Christ said so. Jesus Christ, yes, the meek and lowly one, the loving one. My dear friends, he preached on hell more than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. Nobody preached more on hell than Jesus Christ did. He preached more on hell, by the way, than he did about heaven. Why? Because he hates us? No, but because he loves us. He wants us to be saved from hell, and he understands human nature. We move more by fear than by the promises of good things. You know why most of us don't speed? Because we don't want a ticket. We don't want the hell of the ticket. We don't want the hell of being stopped. We don't want the hell of going to the courthouse. See, and Jesus Christ understands us better than we understand ourselves. If the truth of hell does not, while you're living now, because you're not going to hear about it. Nobody's going to come from hell to tell you. That's already been established in the Word of God. So you need to hear it now. No matter who you think you are, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior and repented, according to Jesus Christ, you will immediately go to hell when you die. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where the worm dieth, and their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where there is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Dear friend, you don't want to go to hell. Hell is no joke. Hell is not something we should use in a phrase. Hell is not a place you ought to tell people to go to. Notice what Jesus Christ said in one of his sermons on hell in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, to show you how earnest and serious Jesus Christ took the matter of going to hell. He said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off." In other words, if your foot is leading you to hell because of is leading you into sin. See, sin is what brings on hell. If your hand, you're touching another man's wife and having sex with somebody you are not married to, and other such evil sin and foolishness, it's better for you to cut them off and cast them from thee. Jesus said, it is better for thee to enter into life, that is eternal life, halt or maimed. In other words, your leg amputated, your foot amputated off, your hand amputated off, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Your sin is not worth it. The problem is, some people think sin is worth going to hell for, and it's not. You know why many people don't believe in Christ? They love darkness more than they love light. They love sin more than they love righteousness. They love the pleasure of sin, which is temporary, and there is pleasure in it, but it's only temporary. But they love that temporary pleasure more than they love God and righteousness. So they stay in it, and then they die and go to hell forever. See, hell is forever. Heaven with God is forever. It's very unwise to love sin more than Christ, because God's pleasures are far, far more wonderful and more durable than the pleasures of sin for a season, as the Bible calls it. So you want to know who goes to hell? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible states in Revelation 21:8, the Bible tells you who goes to hell. And this is just a limited list. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful people, too afraid to get saved or to follow Christ because of persecution, because it might be a hard life, or because they're afraid what their family members might say or their friends might say. And unbelieving, these are the people who call themselves atheists and agnostics, but they call on God when they get into trouble. And the abominable, these are people who commit abominable acts, and so therefore they live abominable lives. These are men who look at little babies in pornography sites. These are men who try to kidnap children, to rape them, and to take pictures with them to sell on pornography sites. These are the abominable. These are they who are in a family where the mother lusts after her own son, be it a biological son or a stepson. The father lusts after his own daughter, be it his biological daughter or a stepdaughter, incest, and they try to have sex with their own family members. A brother lusts after his own sister. A sister lusts after her own brother. And they tried to have sex together. This is abominable in God's sight. The abominable people. These are men who lust after men, women who lust after women. Homosexuals, sodomites, lesbians. These are they who commit abominations, and therefore they are abominable people. These are people who look at an animal and lust after an animal and try to have sex with a monkey, a dog, a horse. I know it's uncomfortable, but see, where else? I'm just trying to help you to understand. Where else do you want them to go? Now, you're a sinner too, but you don't sin like that, hopefully. But you don't, right now in your mind, you hope they go to hell, don't you? There's no place for people like that. There are murderers, which I'm getting ready to mention now, in jails and prisons, don't even want these people in their prison. They go after these people oftentimes and kill them, if they mess with little children especially. By the way, these are the priests and preachers who rape little children and kill them. I'm just reading the list that God has put in the Bible. These are people who are going to hell. They're going to the lake of fire. And murderers, people who kill other people. And whoremongers, the heterosexual sinners. Men are considered whoremongers. Women are considered whores. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo and the horoscope. Sorcerers and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God. God hates it. Even if it's golf or a car or a woman or a man or a child, nothing and nobody should come before God. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Where else can they go but to the trash heap of the universe, hell, the lake of fire? They can't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven, man, looking at little children. You can't go to heaven being a whoremonger, a pimp, and a prostitute, and a whore. You can't go to heaven living and being a homosexual and a lesbian, a transvestite, a sodomite. There's only one place you can go to, and that is hell. And you will burn forever in hell. Now, hell in the lake of fire is bad news. But I have some good news for you. The same Jesus Christ who preached on hell, the same Jesus Christ who described how hell really is, said the most loving, most wonderful, most precious words ever said on earth. When he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In other words, dear friend, all you have to do is follow the instructions of Jesus Christ, and that is simply believe in him. Jesus Christ said, "For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Makes no difference what you are, Republican, Democrat, Independent. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which also you understand means you're going to repent of your old life, your sinful life. You already understand that. That's in your heart. Nobody thinks they can believe in Jesus Christ and continue in their wicked abominations and sins. Nobody in their right mind thinks that way. We already know instinctively that when we believe in Christ, we must repent and change our behavior. And God will help us. You say, preacher, how do you know that? How do you know people know that? Because every time you witness to them, they say, well, let me clean my life up first, and then I'll come to Jesus. And we tell them, no, you'll be dead and in hell before you do that. You need to come to Jesus first and let him help you clean your life up. Whosoever believeth, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in. That's all it means. Notice that from Jesus Christ, you don't see anything about how you need to go clean your life up first. You need to be a member of a church, or you must be in church somewhere to believe in me. You don't hear Jesus saying anything about you need to get baptized before you get saved and and all of that. All you have to do is believe in him, and you will not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, do it right now for your own good. Tomorrow is not promised you. Your excuses have been taken away. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, wherever you are in the world, be it at your house, be it outside walking the dog, on the treadmill, at the gym, wherever you might be, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul. For Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's call on his name as you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God. If you believe in him, pray to him, he'll save your soul. And he'll change your life. I'll help you with the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. In fact, Lord, I admit that I am a wicked sinner. For I have sinned against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in you, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that you suffered, you bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you as my Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from the hell that I deserve. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and help me to change from the inside out. Help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your holy name I do pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God, and you prayed that prayer with me in sincerity, may I say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free book. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ today at the preaching of his gospel, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop.